guys, it's Latifah back for another episode of Ask a Black Chick. If this is your first time listening, welcome. This is a friendly place. This is a place I like to call home. Here we answer questions about race, community, life, so on and so forth from the perspective of a black woman. That would be me. Hold on, I need to readjust for a second here. Okay, so before we even get into the question, it's like as soon as I start recording, this train goes by. I don't know if I record at the same time every day or every week, so that's why the train goes by at the same exact time. It must be it. Anyways, so let me just tell you what's been going on with me. Honestly, not very much. I wish I had so much more to update on, but this past week has been pretty quiet. But one thing that was really incredible that happened on Sunday, I'm literally smiling while I'm talking about it. Me and my friend went to the B2K Millennium Tour concert, and she gifted me the tickets for my birthday because back in 2001, 2002, maybe 2003, I guess, when they were really popping, I was the number one B2K fan. And honestly, looking back, their music was fine. It was definitely not bad or anything like that. I mean, it was that early 2000s Y2K millennium type of R&B boy group type of music. But when I was at that time, literally that summer before the fall when they came out, I think they came out like towards the beginning of the school year. That same summer of 2001, my mom had passed in a horrific hit and run accident. And I just felt like, I think subconsciously, I clung to that. It was just such a place of joy to be in the midst of that music and that vibe and that pandemonium. Truly, it was like pandemonium, this boy band. And it just really took my mind off of the things that I was going through, being in a new environment, a new family, all of those things that were really, it's a lot for a 12-year-old to take in at once. And just really diving headfirst into that B2K pandemonium, really, I mean, it took my mind off of it and it just became a place of incredible comfort. Like, I love them. I don't think I have ever been a bigger fan than I was of them, of anybody to date. Like, that's how crazy it was. Like, if I went into details, you guys would really think I was a little bit off my rocker, so I'm not going to, but it was crazy. I loved them. So, and I remember when they broke up, and you know, everyone who knows me knows that I'm a huge B2K fan in my personal life. Everyone knows this. So when they came out and they were coming out touring for a reunion tour, here I am at that time almost 30, and I'm like, wait, is this like a sign for me? But the reunion tour fell in the same month as my 30th birthday when they were coming to my area. They didn't have that many dates. They only had 2 dates in my area, one of them being in one location being in New York, which is, I mean, we're close to New York, but it honestly is a hike. So they only really had 1 date in North Jersey, or Jersey at all, I think. So, I wasn't really going to be able to go because I'd already planned an Atlantic City trip with my friends for my birthday, which was only going to be a week and a half prior to the day they were supposed to come. So that's a lot to ask of somebody to pay for a trip out of town for a weekend and pay for a ticket to go see B2K. Like, that is asking a lot. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to, whatever, my little 12-year-old girl inside of me that clung to this band like a freaking comfort blanket will just have to deal with it. So I wasn't gonna go. My friend surprised me a few days before my birthday with tickets, and I literally could cry. But that feeling of happiness when she told me that she got me the tickets as a birthday present paled in comparison to how I felt when they got on that stage. I was a little tipsy, not gonna lie, because I had some hard cider and a little wine, but I felt like I literally could feel the tears coming to my eyes. I was so excited. Like, it was so great. It was incredible, incredible, incredible. Like, oh my gosh. Highlight of my whole 2019 thus far was going to that concert. It was so great. And honestly, in that moment, I just felt like everything was okay. Like, life was oh fucking okay. You understand? Great concert. They brought Ashanti out, Ja Rule out. Oh, it was just so good. Like, I was like, okay. Like, this was so worth it. Like, so glad that she bought me that ticket. So grateful. Oh my gosh. One of the greatest gifts someone has ever given me as like a birthday gift or something was that concert. And I feel a lot of anxiety around my birthday. I was going to talk about this last podcast episode, but I was like, oh, never mind. I wasn't really in the moment anymore. But briefly, I do feel a lot of anxiety around my birthday, which I have found out since is normal, called birthday anxiety. Perfect name for it. But I do feel a lot of anxiety around my birthday and feeling like that pressure and that, like, it's like the one time of the entire year that comes every single year. Every year that you know is coming, that all the attention is on you. Unless you're like a twin or something like that, or your birthday falls on the same day as your parent or spouse or something. But generally speaking, it's that one day a year that it's like, are the people in my life going to show me that I'm loved and cared for, or are they not? And it's a lot of pressure, and it does a number on my anxiety. So her gifting me those tickets really just, I mean, it just set me up to have a great week in Atlantic City and just have a great time and to just do the things I want to do and just really put me on a great foot for the rest of the year, honestly. I know, it's just a concert, but it really made me feel like that. So that's, that honestly was the highlight. I don't know how I didn't talk about that last episode. Did I go to the concert yet? I don't know. If you follow me on Instagram, if you go to Ask a Black Chick, AskABLKCHK, on Instagram, you'll see the pics I took from the concert. I have a lot of videos too, but I didn't want to drown your timelines. But other than that, my life has been pretty drama-free, which I'm so grateful for. Oh my gosh. I swear, when I see drama now from a mile away, I'm like, gotta go. Turn around, U-turn. Gotta get out of this situation. Like, I don't want no sauce. I don't want none of the drama. So, in that same vein, if you guys remember a few episodes, I don't know, I couldn't even guess the number episode, but definitely somewhere in the middle. I believe I told you guys about this guy I was dating and how he, like, played me and the girl. He had a girlfriend or I'm doing air quotes with the girlfriend because I don't know. But he had a girlfriend, supposedly, and she contacted me, like, how do you know this person? And I was like, I know him because of this, and this. Like, this is the guy I'm dating. And I've been dating him by that time for like 6 months or some crazy bullshit like that. And he had given me a lot of signs that something wasn't right. But, you know, I love to ignore red flags. Just tie them around your neck and call it a handkerchief. So, yeah, that whole situation. I had said that she was low-key scary. Like, she reminded me of someone that you see when you watch those Dateline or 2020 shows about a woman getting murdered by another woman over a guy, how, like, they lose their fucking mind. Like, legit, that's what she reminded me of. She knew where I live, my child's name, his father's name. She tried to contact his father and, like tried to offer him some sexual favors. Like, all to get at me, all for this man that is cheating on you. Like, I had no idea about her, but she knew about me the whole time. Crazy, absolutely crazy. Anyways, that happened like 2 years ago now, I think. So it's not fresh. It's not new. It was over. In those 2 years, I would talk to him here and there. He would hit me with a happy birthday or Merry Christmas. How are things going? I never saw him. I never tried to, like, hang out or anything like that. Because I definitely have always felt like that door has to be closed in that regard as far as physically seeing someone, because what he did, because it goes deeper than that surface level of the drama, but what he did was honestly inexcusable, and I shouldn't even be talking to him at all, even hi, what's up, because that's a privilege. But anyways, so recently he had contacted me, and I had asked him if he was going, because a lot of people I knew were going to the B2K concert, and I brought that up, and I said I was going because he knows how much of a fan I was, and I was just so excited to tell everybody, and we talked a little bit. He said that he was having a baby with the same girl, that crazy one, and I was like, that's, you know, if you like it, I love it, like, that sounds great. I told him about the things going on with me in my life, my boyfriend, my kid, what I want to do in the future, what's going on with schoolwork, whatever, just catching up, very general. Again, no one trying to hang out with anyone, no one wants your man, sis, trust me, in the words of Jordan Woods, I don't want your situation, okay? I don't need your situation at all. I'm happy over here. So that was that. And I, in the midst of that, I thought to myself, watch this girl gonna pop up out of nowhere, because I know she must read his phone, because I think he likes the drama, so he must, like, leave it out, or have his, I don't know, who knows, like, who the fuck knows. I mean, I could read my phone, there's nothing to see, but I mean, I guess, I don't know the dynamic of their situation, but I just had this feeling like something was gonna happen. So I have her blocked on my personal social medias, but I have a business page for the business that my boyfriend and I are starting and launching next month, which I'll get into. And last night, I'm just, like, looking, you know, on the business page, and I see that she followed the business page. There would be no reason on this planet that she would do that. Like, the degrees of separation are truly impossible. Like, honestly. There's a train going by. I'm gonna take a sip of coffee while it does that. So, yeah. So, now, Latifah, from when him and I were kicking it or whatever, would have contacted her and said, you crazy bitch, why the fuck are you following me on any of my Instagram accounts at all? And started some drama, started some mess, and probably hit him up and said, your bitch is crazy. But this Latifah, I don't want no parts of the drama, of which I wasn't talking to him in a way that was inappropriate at all whatsoever. And I definitely was not trying to create any sort of friction or anything like that. And his relationship is his responsibility, because if your girl can't see that you talked to someone that you've known for a little while, like, hey, what's up, just catching up, she can't read that and trust you, there's another problem, because I feel like my boyfriend can read exactly what I said, and there's no problem. It was 100% platonic. So, I don't want any drama, and I definitely don't want to worry about opening my front door and a bitch standing there with acid, pregnant, ready to fight, or some stupid shit like that. So, I just contacted him I waited until this morning, and I contacted him and I said, you know, it was nice catching up with you via Messenger. Like, I'm, you know, that was fine. I'm glad you're doing well, but I don't reach out to me again. Don't contact me. I'm not going to contact you, because your girlfriend is crazy, and I don't need any of that drama or toxic shit near me, my family, or the people I love and care about, or my business, over you, or anybody really, but definitely not over you. And so I hope you have a good life. I hope a safe delivery of your baby, and don't ever contact me again. And that was the end of that. And that's, you know, eventually over the next couple of months, she'll forget that I exist. Well, she'll never forget that I exist, because she's my number one fan, but she will stop following me so closely. But I just used that as an example of the level of drama-free I'm trying to be at in this phase of my life. Like, that's how drama-free I'm trying to be. Like, drama-free zone. You understand? If I see it from a mile away, I'm gonna nip it in the butt, be 100% clear and honest, like, look, can't deal with this. We're done. It's a wrap. And leave it like that. Now, going back to the business that my boyfriend and I are launching in May, which I think I talked about in the last episode briefly, it's a secondhand online thrift store that is personally hand curated by him and I, from thrift stores across the country, as well as donated items. Our mission is to provide quality, stylish, on trend, but individualized, unique clothing items to elevate your style. It's not about being vintage or being a name brand or anything like that, or being the exact trend that everyone's wearing that you can find at Fashion Nova or H&M. It's about finding those individual pieces that can stay with you through the years that you don't even know that you want until you see it. And our mission outside of clothing you and your friends and family is to provide clothes to people in need as well. So I say that to say, if you have any clothes that you would like to donate to Thrift It Rich, you can go to thriftitrich.com. That's thriftedrich.com. And sign up with your email and we'll contact you that way. Or you can send us an email at hello@thriftedrich.com. That's hello@thriftedrich.com. And for anyone that donates clothes, you will receive a 10% off credit towards your first purchase. And yeah, you're outside of a credit, outside of being able to purchase clothes at a discount, you will also have the joy of being able to donate clothes to a greater purpose, to a greater cause. Our store is launching in May, on May 1st, so you definitely want to have your email in, be ready for the drop, because with thrifted items, as you can imagine, there's usually only one of each item, and once it's gone, it's very difficult to replace it or to replenish that one that we're missing. So, listen, go to thriftedrich.com, put in your email, go to the Thrifted Rich Instagram, same name, and follow us. Look at all the sneak peeks and new arrivals. Click on new arrivals. Click on our Insta story and you will see all of the heat we got coming for May 1st. And I can't wait for you to see it. ThriftedRich.com, Instagram, ThriftedRich, email hello@ThriftedRich.com. Okay, guys. So let's get right into today's question. I chose today's question because I thought it was super interesting. I mean, as I feel about any question. And I really want to hear you guys' opinion. So once you guys finish this episode, definitely go on to Twitter at Ask a Black Chick. That's Ask a BLKCHCK on Twitter, or Ask a Black Chick, Ask a BLKCHK on Instagram, and let me know what you think. What do you think of this question? How would you answer it? If this was your friend, what advice would you give her? And let's go ahead and let's get started. This question comes from Anonymous. Anonymous says, so I come from a mixed family and my two brothers and one sister are black. I am white. My sister has a 6-year-old daughter who I absolutely love, and being an aunt to her is one of the lights of my life. Whenever I come over, she is obsessed with my hair. She brushes it and braids it and brushes it. She talks about how beautiful it is and how much she loves it. But whenever she says that, I always feel like she means she likes it better than her own hair, because when I tell her how much I like her hair and think it's gorgeous, she just looks at me really confused or asks me why I like her hair. She loves playing with my hair so much, though, I don't want to stop her, but I don't want to accidentally reinforce any messages from society about her hair, or that it's not as nice, and that's in quotes, as white hair. How do I best frame this interaction and talk with her to help her see that she has gorgeous hair, even if it's different than mine? I talked to my sister about it, and she just said to let her play with my hair if I didn't mind, and she'll address the confidence with her own hair issues later. But it would break my heart to play even a little bit of a part in my little niece not loving her gorgeous self. Do you have any ideas? Wonderful question. So great. And I think let's just jump right in. So when I first read this question, I immediately felt connected to it. I think a lot of black women as adults now can look back into our childhood and say that we had some sort of issue with dealing with our own hair and that level of acceptance, especially if you grew up in a mixed... I think if you grew up in any environment, whether it was mixed and you had all different cultures or it was a primarily black environment, either way, I think, because I've grown up in many different environments, and in all situations, my feelings about my hair as a kid were pretty consistent. So I just want to share my perspective on the black hair experience as a young girl. And things today are different, you know, because young kids, 6, 7 years old, have access to positive hair influence in the black community that I did not have access to as a kid growing up in the 90s and early 2000s. So when I was a kid, what was called considered beautiful hair to me, my friends, the people around me, was long, straight hair that would flow in the wind. And, you know, that was what, or outside of that, it would be that chili from TLC, that chili, that curly, wet curly type of look, either or, you know, baby hair type of thing. That was the ideal hair. That was the beautiful hair that we all wanted to achieve and like aspired to. And having natural hair was not the wave. Having an afro was not the wave. And I honestly, as a kid, I truly believed and fed into the idea that black women could not grow their hair unless they were mixed with something else. So the girls that were within my circle that were black, that had longer hair, and I don't even mean crazy long, like down to your butt or something like that, that's like, wow, your hair is super long. I mean like long, like full to your shoulder long. Like that was long enough for me to be like, wow, she must be mixed with white. Or a lot of kids be like, oh, my grandmother is Native American or something like that. And that was the only way I thought that black women could grow their hair. Otherwise, we were doomed with this to being chained to weaves or whatever. And I mean, that's a crazy idea. It honestly is ridiculous looking at it now from where I am now. But I don't think that that has changed that much. So I think that's something that you have to, I think you know that though, from the way that you framed the question, I think you understand that. That's a struggle that young black girls have to deal with all the time, is that stereotype. There's laws made around the kind of hairstyles we can have in the workplace, or there were. There's legislation on the books about our hair. Like, what other race has to deal with that? So it's a lot of pressure when it comes to our hairstyles. When I went natural back in, like, now it's 9 years ago, when I went natural, I remember I had grown my hair out for a little bit, but I just couldn't take it anymore, and I cut it all off. And I remember before I cut it off, when I was still trying to figure out what I was going to do, my roommate at the time, who 100% subscribed to that same idea I had when I was a child, and I was like 19, 20 by this point, I remember she told me that I would have to change everything about myself. When I decided to wear my hair natural, I would have to change the kind of men I dated. I would have to change the way I dressed, because I couldn't dress the way dressed trendy as a 20-year-old would. I couldn't dress trendy from Forever 21 and have my hair like that. I would have to dress Afrocentric, because that's how much our hair influence how we viewed ourselves. And it's insanity, because hair in the white community is not that serious. It's just not. It doesn't go hand in hand with how you view yourself, the kind of men you date, the kind of identity you have. It just doesn't. And I think when you look at it on that grand scale, that's not a pressure. You think maybe a 6-year-old wouldn't have that kind of pressure, but she does. Who knows what kind of crazy things those kids at school might say about hair, her hair, black hair, long hair, kinkier hair, whatever the case is. Now, I have a son. I don't have a daughter. I do have a son who's the same age, 6 years old. And when I knew I was having a boy, I thought, wow, those are things I'm not going to have to deal with. I'm not going to have to worry about, you know, him worrying about his hair and wanting to straighten it. I'm not going to have to worry about any of those things. But it's crazy, because he has cried real actual tears out of his two eyeballs, because he wanted me to take him to the barber so he can get a haircut that would make his hair look like his white friend, straight and like brushed to the side. And this is, my kid is around plenty of diversity, plenty of people of color, has a great level of male influence in his life, very close to his father, who has the same hair texture as he does. However, even a little boy, not a little girl, a little boy of color is not protected from that negativity when it comes to our hair and how much it influences us as how we view ourselves. So, the way that I handled that situation, even though it's very similar, it's not the same because he is a little boy, and I think that they grow out of that a lot quicker than little girls. But as his mom, the only thing I could do in that exact moment when he was crying about it was reassure him that his hair is beautiful the way it is, and that person's hair is beautiful that the way that their hair is, and we can try to find a style that we can do his hair in that he would like. And over time since then, it's gotten better, but it's definitely not gone away. And as far as your situation, I think, for one, I think your niece is brushing your hair because she likes to do it. My son loves playing in my hair. He would probably play in anybody's hair, to be honest, no matter the texture, color, type, length, whatever. He loves brushing my hair and smacking me with the comb. So I don't want you to overthink it. I think she's six. She loves to play in people's hair. That's number one. Number two, your hair is different from hers, which is probably different from her mom's, which is cool and interesting to play with. Like that, as a kid, that's interesting to be able, she probably has a bunch of little white girls at her school that have that same hair texture, but she certainly can't just play in their hair. She can play in your hair, and that's fun. It's cool. It's interesting to do things to your hair that she can't do to her own hair, like a live Barbie doll. So that level is just children's curiosity and discovery on that basic level, which is great and should be encouraged. Now, when it comes to that conversation where you tell her, your hair is really beautiful too, I love the way that your hair looks, and she's not responding with, thank you, I know, or a response that is appropriate to that statement, I think the only thing that you can do, there's not a single thing you can say or do in that one moment that will change it immediately. All you can do is consistently tell her that her hair is beautiful. She is beautiful. I love it when you wear your hair like this. Out of nowhere, compliment her hair. Those things make a huge difference. I'm going to align it with this example. So when you're a kid, when you're a young child from birth to the time you turn 18, if your parents tell you all the time that they love you, and not when you ask, not when the topic of love comes up, not when the topic of understanding love comes up, but they tell you, I love you every day when you wake up. They tell you, I love you every day when you go to bed. When they see you, they say, you know, I love you so much. They don't say it too much where it's like, you're getting on my nerves, but it's consistent. You don't even have to think, do my parents love me? Because they tell you and show you every single day how much they love you unconditionally. You grow up to be an adult that knows what love looks like and what it's supposed to feel like, and how to accept when someone tells you that they love you. You know how to accept it because you're used to it. It's a part of your fabric of your being. It's the same when it comes to feeling beautiful. So as a child, hearing especially probably out of your mouth, someone that she admires, she thinks you're very beautiful, hearing your hair is beautiful. I love your hairstyle today. Did you pick that out? Did your mommy pick it out? It looks really great on you. How about this hairstyle? Let's try this hairstyle. I think that would look so nice on your hair. Just simple, small steps of encouragement every time you see her. Not overwhelming, not too much. And not only when she's playing in your hair, it will make a difference. It won't seem like it now, but it will definitely make a difference. Because if I were told that I had beautiful hair from a time I was a small child up until now, I would, and I never chemically straighten my hair or anything, I would have felt more confident about my hair. But when I went natural, I got so many, and I still get so many compliments on my natural textured hair. So even when I'm like annoyed by it and I'm like, this, my hair looks like shit, why do I have to deal with this? It's so much, I just want to cut it all off. No, like I'm an adult, so I can find my confidence within myself, but it feels good when people give me those compliments that are unsolicited about my hair and the way that I look. It makes me feel good. It's like body positivity, hair positivity. That's honestly what it is, hair positivity. You need to inject that level of hair positivity into her all the time, consistently, and she'll grow up loving the hair that she has. Love it and embrace the hair that she has. Don't try to change it into a style that doesn't fit her. I used to do that all the time when I first went natural. Try to lay my hair a certain way that it doesn't naturally go. Encourage her to wear her hair out sometimes. I know she's six, so I don't know. Her mama might not like that, but encourage her to wear her hair out. Embrace it. Let her touch it. Don't make her... As a kid, I used to always feel like the odd one out among white friends because I couldn't get my hair wet. I could never wear my hair out as a small kid. Well, all the little white girls just had 2 ponytails. I had to have 15 ponytails because we weren't... Black girls aren't allowed to wear their hair out when they're small like that. I only felt beautiful when my hair had extensions in it or it was freshly permed or as a little girl, I had beads so it could swing back and forth. Help her embrace the things that makes our hair different. Embrace them and see them as beautiful. I love that your curls stick up like that or stick out like that or lay like that. It's beautiful. Only you have that. It's amazing. It's like a superpower. That's the only thing that you can do. You're not in control of society, and allowing her to brush your hair only encourages her to understand the difference between the two and to indulge in curiosity and discovery and exploring. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I think you encouraging her by, how about you play in her hair? Every time she plays in your hair, if you can, if it's not styled a particular way, you play in her hair and say how beautiful it is. And when she's coming down the stairs one day, when you walk in the house, say, wow, you look so beautiful. Your hair is gorgeous. And I promise you, you'll see a difference. I promise you, she'll internalize that. It starts at home. She will internalize that. I promise you. That level of hair positivity that starts at home, she will internalize it and grow up feeling confident about the hair that she has. I promise you that. And good luck. I hope it goes well. And that is all that I have today. I thank you so much for submitting your questions. You can submit your questions at askablackchick.com. Click on Ask a Black Chick Podcast and you will see a submission box right there. You can submit your question anonymously or you can submit your question with your name, however you want. You can also send your question to info@askablackchick.com. And if you don't want me to read your name, just specify that and I won't read your name. Or you can tell me you want me to. Also, send me your music at askablackchick.com. I want to include your music as an outro. I want people to hear the beautiful sounds of you. Also, don't forget to subscribe, share, like, do all the things so we can continue this conversation. I can't continue the conversation without you. Without you guys being a part of it, sending questions, interacting, I can't continue the podcast. And I love the conversations that we're starting. I love the narrative that we're starting. I love the way that we're changing the way that we talk about race and making it accessible to everyone, because understanding is the first step to making a change. Today's music, now I featured this artist before, but I'm going to feature her again. Her name is Danielle Martin. We used to be roommates back in college. She's been singing since forever. I remember we used to play Rock Band and she used to sing her little heart out on that microphone. The song that we're going to play today is called The Wanting. It's off of her last project, Wonderlust. All of the links will be in the description box for the podcast and for this episode. You can go to SoundCloud, look up Danielle Martin or Wonderlust, WANDERLUST. And you'll find her music there. Again, this is The Wanting by Danielle Martin. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. Bye.
When the lights they dim and the party's over, will you still be here? If the hunger stays, even when they're all gone, how long till you disappear? Won't I ever be enough to keep you through the night? Won't I ever be enough to make you stay? without the sadness that seemed to haunt your every step. And no one's supposed to know, no one's supposed to know, no one's supposed to see you fall, to see you crumble. Tumbling down, 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 down. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. If you never loved me, you never saw me by your side. Why did you keep me? How could you hide me? Hide me from the truth. I'm not so fragile, I'm not so broken up inside. I won't be the secret you keep buried from the light. I always wondered, I always wanted to see your face without the sadness. To hold your every step. And no one's supposed to know, no one's supposed to know, no one's supposed to see you falter, see you crumble down, 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 down. You're tumbling down. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. You said you needed, said you wanted me by your side. You said you saw me even when you closed your eyes. Down, 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 down. You're tumbling down, 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 down. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Down, 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 down. You're tumbling down. Summer.